open up to Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1 is where we will get started. And if you want to place a marker there, that is where we're going to spend the majority of our time together this evening. In Amos chapter 7 and verse number 14, the prophet says, "I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs." His granddaddy wasn't one. His daddy wasn't one. He certainly didn't want to be one. But in Amos chapter 1, the Lord called on this simple country preacher from the city of Tekoa to proclaim the word of the Lord to the nation of Israel. The year was about 750 to 760 BC. This was pre-exile. And the Bible says in Amos chapter 1 and verse number 1, "The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake." Verse 2, "And he said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn and the top of Carmel withers." God called upon the prophet to proclaim a message of judgment. This was likely incredibly surprising to the nation of Israel because they were living during a time of great prosperity. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 12, Amos speaks of their couches and their beds. In chapter 3 and verse 15, he speaks of their winter houses, their summer houses, their great houses, and their houses of ivory. In Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, the prophet speaks of how they were at ease and the people felt secure. In Amos chapter 6 verses 4 through 6, the prophet speaks of how the people were lying on their beds of ivory, they were stretched out on their couches, they were eating the best foods, drinking the best wines, they were living their best life. When suddenly the prophet of God calls upon the people and pronounces messages of judgment. Amos chapter 1 begins by Amos describing how God is going to punish nations that are worse than Israel. In Amos chapter 1 and verse number 2, the prophet says, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn and the top of Carmel withers." Verse 3, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not revoke the punishment because they have threshed Gilead with threshing sledges of iron. So I will send a fire upon the house of Hazel, and it shall devour the strongholds of Ben-Hadad. I will break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avon and from him who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into exile to Kir, says the Lord." Here we see that the Lord calls upon the prophet to pronounce to the people messages of judgment. In Amos chapter 1, we see that the prophet begins by describing how God is going to punish nations that are worse than Israel. The first nation that he mentions is that of Damascus. Damascus will be punished for their iron cruelty. The next nation is Gaza. In Amos chapter 1, verse number 6, the text says, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not revoke the punishment." Why? "Because they have carried into exile a whole people." This whole people is likely the nation of Israel. "They have carried into exile a whole people to deliver them up to Edom. So," verse 7, "I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, and it shall devour her strongholds. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod and him who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord of God." Gaza will be punished because they are slave traffickers. Tyre too will be punished, for they are slave traffickers. Verse 9, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not revoke the punishment because they delivered up a whole people to Edom, likely Israel, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. So I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, and it shall devour her strongholds. The third nation that the Lord mentions that he will destroy is that of Edom. This is the fourth nation, excuse me. Verse 11, the text says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not revoke the punishment because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity, and his anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. So I will send a fire upon Teman, and it shall devour the strongholds of Bora. The next nation that will be judged is that of Ammon. Ammon will be judged because they were cruel to women and children. The text says in verse 13, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the Ammonites and for four, I will not revoke the punishment because they have ripped open pregnant women in Gilead, and they might enlarge their border. So I will kindle a fire in the wall of Reba, and it shall devour her strongholds with shouting on the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind, and their king shall go into exile, he and his princes together, says the Lord. The final nation that will be judged that was worse than Israel is that of Moab. We see this in Amos chapter 2 and verse number 1. The text says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not revoke the punishment because he burned to lime the bones of the king of Edom. So I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the strongholds of Kerioth, and Moab shall die amid uproar, amid shouting and the sound of the trumpet. I will cut off the ruler from its midst and will kill all of its princes with him. Here we see that Amos pronounces judgment upon nations that are worse than Israel for so many different reasons. For their cruelty, for their oppression, for their slave trafficking, for the fact that they were cruel to women and children, and we see because Moab was cruel to the dead. In Amos chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, the prophet then begins to describe how God is going to punish nations that are better than Israel. In Amos chapter 2, starting in verse number 4, the text says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah. Judah was much more faithful. They were much more righteous. They were much more God-fearing than the nation of Israel. But in spite of their faithfulness, they still sin. And we learn that God punishes sin. Thus says the Lord, verse 4, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not revoke the punishment. Why? Because they have rejected the law of the Lord and not kept his statutes, but their lies have led them astray, those after which their fathers walked. So I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the strongholds of Jerusalem. Amos opens up his book speaking of how God will punish nations. He will punish nations that are worse than Israel. He will punish nations that are better than Israel. And yes, he will punish the nation of Israel. He will punish the nation of Israel because they have oppressed the poor and the afflicted. Verse 6, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not revoke the punishment. Why? Because they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. Those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and turn aside the way of the afflicted. They are sexually immoral. A man and his father go into the same girl so that my holy name is profaned. They are greedy and they are unjust. Amos chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring that we may drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, behold, the days are coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks, and you shall go out through the breaches, each one straight ahead, and you shall be cast out into Harmon, declares the Lord. Chapter 5 and verse number 11, we continue to see how they are greedy and unjust. Chapter 5, verse 11, therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Amos chapter 6, starting in verse number 12. This prophet asks, do horses run on rocks? The answer is no. Does one plow there with oxen? The answer is no. Both of these things are dumb and they are contrary to nature. But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. Also dumb and contrary to nature. These people do not care about their neighbors. They oppress their neighbors. They are greedy and they are unjust. Verse 13, you who rejoice in Lodebar. Lodebar was a ghetto, a worthless town that David brought Mephibosheth from to eat at the king's table. Lodebar was an awful place, but they rejoice in Lodebar. Have we not by our own strength captured Caranim for ourselves? For behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, declares the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall oppress you from Lebo Hamath to the brook of Arabah. We continue to see their greed in Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, starting in verse number 4. The prophet says, hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. These people, again, are going to be judged because they are greedy and they are unjust. They are hypocrites. We see this in chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, and they are an incredibly arrogant people. In Amos chapter 1, the Lord calls upon the prophet to pronounce messages of judgment. He is going to judge nations that are worse than Israel. He is going to judge nations that are better than Israel. And we see all throughout the book of Amos how he is going to judge the nation of Israel. And now we are about to see how God feels about the judgment. Or I'll say it this way. We see how God is going to punish his people. The prophet Amos has four visions. His first vision is that of a locust plague. In Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, starting in verse number 1. The text says, this is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, he was forming locusts when the latter growth was just beginning to sprout. And behold, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. Verse 2, when they had finished eating the grass of the land, I said, O Lord God, please forgive. How can Jacob stand? He is so small. The Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Here we see that the Lord would take blessings away from his people. Because of their sin, because of their wickedness, because they had turned their backs on him, blessings will be taken away. Amos sees a second vision of judgment by fire. Amos chapter 7 and verse number 4. The text says, this is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord God was calling for a judgment by fire, and it devoured the great deep and was eating up the land. Then I said, O Lord God, please cease. How can Jacob stand? He is so small. The Lord relented concerning this. This also shall not be, said the Lord. If his people continue to sin, if they continue to turn their backs on him, he will judge them by fire. That means more blessings will be taken away. The third vision that the prophet sees is that of a plumb line. Amos chapter 7, starting in verse number 7. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. God uses this plumb line to show the nation of Israel how far they had drifted from him. They are measured and they will be judged. The final vision is that of a basket of summer fruit. In Amos chapter 8, starting in verse number 1, the text says, This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, The end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, declares the Lord God. So many dead bodies, they are thrown everywhere. Silence. Because of their sins, because of their rebellion, because of their oppression, just like a basket of summer fruit is ripe, sadly, the nation of Israel is ripe for judgment. And no one will escape. In Amos chapter 9, starting in verse number 1, prophet says, I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, Strike the capitals until the thresholds shake, and shatter them on the heads of all the people, and those who are left on them I will kill with the sword. Not one of them shall flee away, not one of them shall escape. If they dig into Sheol, from there shall my hand take them. If they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. If they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, from there I will search them out and take them. And if they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them. And if they go into captivity before their enemies, there I will command the sword, and it shall kill them. And I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell in it mourn, and all of it rises like the Nile and sinks again, like the Nile of Egypt, who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and founds his vault upon the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name. This is not socially acceptable. This description of God makes me uncomfortable. I don't like getting up here talking about how God's going to pour out his wrath upon nations. But this is who God is. All throughout the prophecy of Amos, we see very clearly that God punishes sin. God doesn't take sin lightly. As we see, there are no big sins and there are no little sins. There is sin. Sin is dishonorable to the Lord. It is distasteful to the Lord. And the Lord hates it. He hates it and he will punish it. The other day, a coworker and I somehow got on the discussion of hell. And she said, Tim, do you preach on hell? Do you tell people that they're going to hell? And I said, yes, I do. I do preach on hell. And I have stood behind this pulpit and told people if they willfully live in sin, they will go to hell. And when I say things like that, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I am sinless. And I'm not saying that if I live a life of willful, unrepented sin, I won't go to hell either. But when I stand up here and preach about the judgment and the wrath of God, and when I stand up here and I preach about hell, I am preaching the whole counsel of God. She told me, Tim, if you stand up there and preach about hell, then you probably don't have a whole lot of people who go to your church. People aren't going to want to hear what you have to say if you stand up there and preach about hell and judge people. Well, if Jesus were here today, people wouldn't want to go to his church either, because Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28, he says to fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Matthew chapter 25, at the great judgment scene, Jesus speaks of those who on his left will go to the place of eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and Lazarus is described as being in a place of torment. He is in anguish, in a flame. In Mark chapter 9, in verse number 43, Jesus speaks of a place where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus also speaks of a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Luke chapter 16, as he speaks of the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he talks about a place of no return. Jesus preached about hell, and as a gospel preacher, I am going to preach about hell. Jesus preached about hell because he loved this world so much that he didn't want it to go to hell. And I preach about hell because I love you all so much that I don't want you to go to hell. And I study lessons about hell so I will be reminded that if I don't live my life for the Lord, then I am going to go to hell. Willful, unrepentant sinners will go to hell. And I'm not ashamed to say that. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer says, if we go on sinning deliberately, or some translations say willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the word of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Holy Son of God, has profaned the blood of his covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is who God is, and this is the God that we must preach, and this is the God that we must believe and obey. Otherwise, we see what will happen to us, and we see where we will go. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. He is incredibly severe. I don't want to end a sermon on this note. Amos didn't end his sermon on that note. In Amos chapter 9, verse number 11, the prophet says, "In that day I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this." Amos chapter 9 and verse number 13. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows the seed. The mountain shall drip sweet wine, and all of the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God." I'm so thankful that the book of Amos ended on a positive note. I'm so thankful that the Lord sent his only begotten Son to this earth to live a perfect life so that we could have the hope of eternal life. Without his perfection, we would all be lost. But thankfully, we have Jesus. If you are here this evening and you are not a part of the church, if you have not been washed by the blood of the Lamb, then you know what to expect. Become a child of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent and turn away from your sins. Have your sins washed away in baptism. Rising forth, walking in newness of life, living every day for the Lord. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. Yes, you're going to sin. Yes, you're going to fall. We all do. But we pick ourselves up. We ask the Lord for forgiveness, and we keep on keeping on. If we can help you in any spiritual way this evening, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.